Hello, everyone. Welcome to Stab's 49th and 50th episode recording. Thank you guys for coming out. Yeah. Appreciate it. We have cake. It's over there. But you can't have any until after the second show. No, I'm kidding. We'll give it out at intermission, so fucking stop asking me. That's what I want to say. Stop bitching to me about the cake. The show is going to be basically the same show we usually do, just with an extra person on each show. And the 49th and 50th episodes is the end to our first season. We have 50 episode seasons, so this will be when we come back with Stab, it's going to be just a whole new format. Jesse won't be on the show anymore. He's moving to Sweden, and he's pregnant. That's right. He's pregnant with my baby, and I have too many children, and they want my attention. So we're going to start. You guys ready? You guys ready? Ready? Everybody? Everybody? All right, here we go. Here we go. That's not loud enough.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
Welcome to the 49th episode of Stab. Thank you for being here. I'm your host, John Ross. Are you guys ready to meet your contestants? Yes, please welcome to stage first, Johnny Taylor in seat number one. Oh, yeah. Seat number two, we've got Luke Soyan. Luke Soyan. Seat number three, Ben Rice. And last but not least, Jesse Jones. Jesse. The mailman, Malone Jones. Thank you for... All right, guys. We just like to end it abruptly. Johnny is eating a sandwich. 49.
Yep.
Yeah. There's two carrots on the plate.
There are two carrots. That's a...
Arda likes to serve his PB&Js with carrots. It's like, well, obviously you like a sweet and savory combo, so we'll throw some veggies.
I want a soft PBJ with a hard carrot, you know.
Okay. It's a really hard carrot.
Hard carrot. Thank you for being here, gentlemen. Let's skip over John. Let him get a bite. Luke Soyan.
Hi.
How are you?
What's up? I'm good. How are you?
I'm glad you're here.
I am too.
Luke Soyan, he's very attractive. I was talking.
Ow!
He's really nice. I was talking to someone about you earlier, and we were just like, Jesus Christ, Luke Soyan.
Like, fuck that guy.
Let's fuck that guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Is this a gang rape for me?
It is a gang rape. Welcome to the... It's our second season.
There's way too many of you for that. I didn't practice.
I don't know if you guys knew this about Luke. He's about to be gang raped.
No.
He's a gang rape survivor?
In training. In waiting.
All right. We have too many gang rape references this early in the... Ben Rice.
Hello. Thank you.
Johnny's still chewing, so we're going to move to you.
Great.
Johnny's a slow chewer and lover. Ben.
For the gang rape.
How do you feel about this gang rape that's about to happen?
I understand where it's coming from, but I can't condone it.
I feel like we have the title of our next episode already. Ben Rice. I don't know if you guys knew that. Ben Rice, he is heir to the Ray-Ban fortune.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is weird because he's wearing those not Ray-Bans. I see.
Rape-Bans.
Rape.
A ban on rape, guys. It's a ban on rape. It's,
oh, okay. Well, that's
good.
Better.
A ban? Oh, a ban. I thought you said a raped ban. Like a rape band.
Rape van.
A band that rapes people. Like Gigi Allen.
There's so much rape in the show already.
I thought it was rape van.
Right. A rape van.
Which
rape
looks like
band.
What Ben Rice would be driving.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's true.
That's true. All right.
Good.
Johnny Taylor, are you fucking done?
I'm back.
Okay, good.
What's up?
Johnny Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You've got your hands in all kinds of things.
Sure do.
Johnny, I don't know if you knew this, but your ears are nice.
Thank you. They're small.
They are small ears.
I have freakishly small ears.
I mean, they're not
freakish. One's lazy.
You have a lazy ear.
I have a lazy ear.
And a lazy
ear
eye.
That's weird.
You have to drink V8 to just stand up straight. Is that what that's?
Weird deep cut. Because, I liked it, though. Yeah, I get it. I understand what you're doing.
Everyone over 35.
I'm back.
Okay. Johnny Taylor, I don't know if you knew this. He has two small ears. There we go. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here, Johnny Taylor.
I love you.
I love you, too. Jesse Jones.
Yeah.
The anchor of this baby.
I drag it down.
is that we can't get away from him. That's Jesse Jones. You're on every show.
That's true.
Let's play Stab. All right. Yeah. I don't know why these sound effects still make me laugh for some reason. Come on in. Johnny Taylor.
Yep.
On this date, 1953, American singer, songwriter, musician, and minister Keith Green was born. Or was dead. Yeah, he was born. He was born.
He did not die
on that day. He was the opposite of dying. He was born. Also, today, the U.S. and Mexico celebrate International Day of the Nacho. How did you celebrate these events in tandem?
Okay, so I had to Google Keith Green.
Right.
I didn't know who the fuck he was.
Okay.
What I learned from Google is Keith Green had a really furry helmet of hair.
He did.
It looked like someone fashioned a piece of styrofoam on his head and spray painted it brown. That's what I learned. He loved the Lord the most, so I think I will celebrate his birth by drinking the blood of Christ while I listen to Christian music. Hmm. Not any of the dreadful music he made, mind you. Maybe some early Stryper or Petra, though. Those guys rocked. You know.
Agreed.
You're a fan of Petra. As far as the other day goes, I'll celebrate by snorting a delicious line of nachos off a stripper's behind. Mm. Maybe I'll even dip my pinky nail into some nachos and have a toot that way. I might even sell nachos to make some cash to buy a new gold watch. I'll definitely be watching Scarface. They fucking love nachos and Scarface. All in all, I'll just do hella nachos.
Hmm.
Nachos means cocaine, right?
Right, yes. Yeah. That's the code word. Johnny Taylor. Yeah, you could clap for him.
Clap.
I feel like we're getting a ring on the... Am I right? Am I right? There we go. It is weird that it was Nacho Day, International Nacho Day, but it's only celebrated by U.S. and Mexico. I feel like the rest of the world is not...
Also, they celebrate International Cocaine Day.
They also... Luke Soyan,
yeah.
On this date, 1221, Alex, Duchess of Brittany...
That's going back a ways.
...is found dead. Guess what else happened? On this date, 1944, World War II, the first kamikaze attack, a Japanese fighter plane carrying 200 kilograms, 440-pound bomb, attacks Australia.
Yeah, what? They got it first, I guess.
How about that?
All right, well... Before I get to that, did you guys know that Brittany didn't used to be a name for hot chicks? It used to be a place in France. So like, there's a coast there and everything. So being in Brittany back then meant something completely different than it does now.
Yeah.
So just so you know that. So how did I celebrate this? I ate an entire birthday cake again because yes. I think I did that on my second episode. Then I took the sage advice of comedian Rory Scovel and I stole myself a grandpa, a Japanese grandpa. I just grabbed his wheelchair and rolled him away from his afternoon programs. And then I asked him two questions that I thought he would know the answers to. One, who the fuck is this Alex person? Because I figure he's old. He'll know her. I mean, he looked like he'd been born in the 1200s. And two, did he know the guy that flew the first kamikaze plane? Which I immediately realized was kind of racist as soon as I asked it. But he is old, so, and he's Japanese. I mean, it's possible. You never know. Get off my back. But it turned out... Turned out he didn't know either thing, so we played like four games of Stratego, and then he told me a bunch of stupid shit about his dead wife, and then I left him in front of a retirement home or an orphanage. I can't remember. It might have been a Goodwill. I really don't know. I know I asked Siri where I could leave an old husk. And then I followed her turn by turn directions. So that's, but obviously that didn't work. So I decided I would cut the shit and go to the source. So I went to Makuni's down that way, and I ordered 17 kamikazes, which is the exact amount needed to black out into the space between spaces. Like the aliens in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. You know, into the hallways of time. There I saw a bunch of stuff I cannot describe. But if you watch 2001 A Space Odyssey, it was exactly like that. Except at the end, I didn't become a space uterus. And then and then I folded myself back into the fabric of space-time right at 1221. But I ended up in Normandy somehow, like out, like next to Brittany. And they don't serve kamikazes back then, so I had no way to get back, so I got stuck there forever and eventually died of consumption. And my clone is now reading this, and oh, my God. John, I'm a clone. And that's how I celebrated it. Okay.
Luke Soyan, you can clap for him. Give him.
Oh, my God. It's a good thing you're cute. Jesus.
Rice, comma Ben.
That's me.
Today is Egyptian Naval Day.
Yes.
That made me laugh. Also, on today's date, 1945, women's suffrage. Women are allowed to vote in France for the first time. Egyptian Naval Day, women in France allowed to vote, 1945. How did you celebrate these?
This was incredibly easy, John. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I ate a Mediterranean pizza. Boom! Nailed it. See, because the Egyptian Navy protects the Mediterranean Sea. Pizza's from France. Done. Chalk it up, fellas. I'm the best.
Ben Rice.
Okay.
Pizza's not from France.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. Pizza is not from France. All right, I got this. Got it. I got it, guys. I got it. I ate a Mediterranean French bread pizza. Ha! This game is so simple. I'm knocking this thing out of the park. But no, let's not take this so lightly. Women's suffrage was an important issue across the world through the entirety of the 20th century. If women couldn't vote, they'd still be making me Mediterranean French bread pizzas. I had to make that thing myself because those dirty Frenchmen who passed that fucking law. It's so strange to think about Egypt's relationship with the sea and with women versus France's history with the sea and with women. Because Egypt is a land of Nefertiti, of Cleopatra and her great love affair with Mark Antony. Powerful female figureheads who ruled the nation. France, on the other hand, is a country of cowardice and third-rate wine. A land... Yeah, that's right. A land full of dudes who still live with their moms in their 40s. A bunch of prissy little babies there in France, you guys. They probably didn't allow women to vote for so long simply by accident because they couldn't tell women from men and assume they'd been voting the entire time. Egypt is a land where Moses freed the Israelites, men, women, and children, by saying, Pharaoh, let my women vote, and creating the first democracy. So, pizza, John. Mm. I ate pizza.
All right. Very good. Ben Rice. Benjamin. Rice and Hoffman. Jesse Jones. On this date, 1980, American model, actress, fashion designer Kim Kardashian entered the world as a horrible person. Also on this very date, 1861, American Civil War, Battle of Ball's Bluff. Union forces under Colonel Edward Baker are defeated by Confederate troops in the second major battle of the war. Baker, a close friend of Abraham Lincoln, is killed in the fighting. Dang! How did you celebrate these things?
Okay. I get what you're doing there, John. You managed to so cleverly combine the birth of global female role model and reality superstar, by which I don't mean reality TV superstar, but just a superstar of reality in general. Kimberly Noelle Kardashian, with a Civil War battle partially titled Balls. How droll, Jonathan. How very erudite, you feckless thug. Even as Kimberly's own dear brother-in-law lay clinging to life after a terrible brothel accident, you find it within yourself to make mean-spirited jest. A brothel accident which, if we are at all honest with ourselves, we have all just narrowly avoided by the grace of our benevolent brothel-watching deity. How quickly everyone seems to forget all of the fine works that Lady Kardashian has done over these scanty few years, since being thrust into the public eye by the impressive member of William Ray Norwood Jr., colloquially known as Ray J. Low just 8 years ago. All the philanthropic and charitable good that she has made through her celebrity, it is all too easily dismissed with childish jokes and juvenile jocularity. Forgotten is Kimberly Kardashian's assisted living project, where a mold taken of her ample, resplendent backside, enlarged a staggering twice actual size, was used as a framing structure for temporarily housing literally hundreds of victims of natural disasters across the globe. Or her special work with the United States Department of Homeland Security, testing the structural integrity of our informational superstructure via her NSA-commissioned greasy champagne-spraying ass photography. It didn't break the internet. And now we know we're stronger. For you to sit there in your ivory tower and hurl such bile at this national treasure just makes me sick, John. So, yes, I did indeed spend this day looking at naked pictures and pornographic video of Kim Kardashian. But it was strictly for research purposes in celebrating this, the greatest living example of shameless, baffling 21st century American success, the likes of which I'm certain are exactly what Lincoln was fighting for.
That was Jesse Jones in a category we like to call This Was Today Once. This show is still called Stab. This next segment is called Reorganization, a fan favorite. This Reorganization, please take this existing acronym, reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? Today's acronym, MDMA. MDMA. Johnny Taylor, we'll start with you. With MDMA, what does it mean to you now?
MDMA, that's ecstasy. You guys know that, right? Mm-hmm. So I reimagine it as what it means now is mega dumb masturbating animal. Okay. And the definition is what men are viewed as in 2015, according to my Facebook feed. I don't know if you guys have the same friends. I like ecstasy.
Johnny Taylor, MDMA. Luke, yeah, why not? Luke Soyan, MDMA, what does it mean to you, please?
MDMA, I actually found out in the hospital today that MDMA stands for Mr. Dawson Moves Again. It's the title of the sad, sad diary of a loving and faithful wife who sits next to her husband, Gerald Dawson, who's in a coma. She just sits there waiting for him to move again. It's very sad, like, get a life, lady, you know? But I took the diary with me, and I have an excerpt, which is actually pretty sad because I realize she writes it in third-person, limited perspective, as if she needs to detach herself from the reality of the situation and maybe someday capitalize on it and sell it as a memoir. But here's the excerpt. Mrs. Dawson awoke suddenly to what she thought was her husband gently caressing her face for the first time in over a year. But it was only a dream. In reality, it was only the coarse hospital pillow she was sleeping on, falling to the floor after her head shifted in the uncomfortable hospital chair. She sighed, perhaps her longest sigh yet, and got up to stretch. She then gently grabbed her husband's motionless hand and caressed her own face because if he wasn't going to do it himself, she would do that for him.
All right, pause, pause.
Oh. It's how their relationship had always been. As she made a muffled moaning sound into her husband's hand, she paid no mind to the creeped-out nurse who stepped in, saw what was happening, set down a tray of food.
She's a really bad writer.
And then slowly and wordlessly stepped back out. After eating her husband's 1,056 untouched breakfast, she took a quick walk around the garden for some exercise. Sometimes it was she who felt like the real vegetable.
Jesus.
As she shuffled past the azaleas, she noticed one of them was opening. It was beautiful. She took it as a sign. She hurried back inside to the bathroom and put on Gerald's favorite lipstick, Silky Secretary, which Gerald had bought her a case of back in 1994. It was just the sort of cheap but romantic gesture she missed so much these days. Well, I thought that's sadder than I thought it would sound. As she applied the bright, almost pastel red lipstick, she thought of all the wonderful trips they would finally go on. Naples, Brussels, the Jersey Shore. She smiled into the cracked mirror. He's kept you waiting long enough, Toots. Longer than Evan Reynolds did when he stood you up at homecoming all those years ago. This is the day, Mrs. Dawson, she said to herself like a perfectly well-balanced individual. She raced back up to his room and burst in. Oh, Gerald, it's so good to... She looked down. He was still locked in his deep slumber. No doubt thinking of her, she thought out loud. And then she saw it. His hand was resting in a different place. Mr. Dawson moved again. MDMA! She laid on top of him then and definitely had no suicidal thoughts whatsoever.
Luke Soyan. Wow. Real good? Real good. Okay. Ben Rice. MDMA, what does it mean to you?
MDMA now stands for Mixed Drink Martial Arts. Whenever you press up against some Poindexter who's been chugging down Chocotinis all night, and now he thinks he's Brock goddamn Lesnard, all of a sudden, that's MDMA. When some twig bitch thinks she's Ronda fucking Rousey because you made her spill her Cosmo on her Cosmo, that's MDMA. And when these fights inevitably end with those famous words, hold on, I think I'm going to puke, that's amore. Oh, very good.
Ben Rice. Mixed Drink Martial Arts. Very good. Jesse Jones, see, bring us home with reorganization. MDMA,
I
please.
Was afraid this was going to happen. So this is going to be very similar, but very different. Okay.
Good.
MDMA. MDMA is the abbreviation for the hottest, most difficult to quantify, new combat sport ever invented. Mixed dimensional martial arts.
Whoa! Wow.
Okay, good.
Bending and often completely snapping all known physical laws in this or any other observable universe, mixed dimensional martial arts takes fighting to the 10th to the 15th degree. And forget UFC's octagon. All MDMA fights take place within the twisted stairwells of MC Escher's famous work, Relativity. You haven't seen real ultimate fighting until you've seen it in the gravity-defying Mobius strip of our ring that science forgot. And don't forget to check out next week's main event on MDMA's Fight Night 314-159. Featuring a grudge match between Luis Fractal Fury Gutierrez from Earth 7 and Luis String Theory Assassin Gutierrez from Earth 19 for the Universal Constant Weight Championship of the Multiverse.
Very good. That was reorganization. This next segment is called Topical Haiku Challenge.
Ow!
No one cares. That's right.
Gentlemen with beards, please have written.
True.
Thank you, gentlemen with beard.
Gentlemen with beards.
Five beards.
So many beards right now.
I didn't even realize.
Five beards meet on one stage.
Five beards, one man leaves. Please have written three haiku each in regard to the following topical story. According to new research, the Ebola virus may live in the semen of male survivors at least 9 months after patients start showing symptoms. Johnny Taylor, please begin your first of three haiku.
Okay. This haiku is called Preggers with Ebola. Much like a baby, disease incubates inside. Will my cum be blood?
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry, ladies. And some men. Luke Soyan.
This one's called I'm Clean, dot, dot, dot. So, technically, I don't have an STD, but yeah, don't swallow.
Let's consider it.
We will be having cake at intermission. Ben Rice.
This one is entitled A Strange STD. Thank you, Luke. Went to Africa. Poison! I've been poisoned! My cum is poisoned! Thank you.
Maybe that's the new title for the episode. Okay. Oh.
That's exactly how I thought that was going to be.
Yeah.
Jesse Jones, your first of three, please.
Well, I think we need to separate Ben and I.
Either one of you is getting better or one of you is getting worse at this show. I feel like you guys are moving.
I'd prefer it's the latter, but it's probably the former. Wait.
First, yeah, first. I see what you did.
No.
I see what you messed up. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. First, okay. I wasn't going to call you out, you know.
Yeah, but, well, yeah. I called me out. Okay. First is titled Good News, Bad News. Congratulations. You just survived Ebola. But your dick's poison.
Johnny Taylor is second of three, please.
This one's called Forever That Guy That Had Ebola. Not a big deal, y'all. I survived Ebola, dude. No one will fuck me.
Very good. Luke Soyan.
Yeah, this one's called Biological Weapon. Hi, North Korea? I may have something for you. Just need a Playboy.
There's no nudity in Playboy. Okay.
Hustler. No. Yeah, that's two syllables.
Or maybe, you know, maybe you like it that way. Ben.
I like to read about it.
Yeah, this, yeah. Lingerie.
Time's up, Luke.
Go ahead and do yours. That's going to be too close to mine.
Yeah. All right. This next one is entitled The African Seaman. You know, from the Navy.
Right.
I thought you were gone. Curse my wicked gonads. You hold firm in my sperm.
It was almost sweet.
That was beautiful.
Oh. Yeah. Gotcha. Jesse Jones, repeat what Ben just said.
No, I'm going to do one like Johnny's later. Second one is titled The Kleenex Genocide. I just hate to think of all of those poor tissues killed by Ebola.
There you go. Johnny, please do start the third of three.
Okay. This one's called This Is Nuts. What a cruel, cold trick. Death hanging out in my sack. Grim Reaper balls, yo.
Very good. I'm just making
map.
Sure this sent a note.
Checking my
syllables. Luke, please bring us home.
This one's called The Right Protection. Hey, does Trojan make tiny hazmat style condoms? Asking for a friend.
Ben Rice.
This one is entitled Deal or No Deals. What's the sex of our baby? What does the survey say? It's a boiler.
Oh, boiler.
Leave the stage, Ben.
I think we found out which one's getting worse.
Leave the stage.
I felt really good about that one.
I don't know. I would have taken that one
funny.
Today.
It's funny. Johnny, you did a good job. Jesse, fucking finish this thing, please.
Well, it's going even longer than you thought, because I couldn't fit my last thought into a single haiku.
So
this is I'm cheating. It's technically a double American sentence. Which is just a 34-syllable poem.
Okay.
Which is titled, The Door Not Beaten Down. This is a problem? Seriously. I mean, I just can't imagine there's lines around the block dying to fuck an Ebola survivor.
Man, you wasted 34 syllables.
Oh, it's getting... Yeah. Yeah, clap for it if you want.
Yeah. Setup was better than the payoff.
This next segment, one of my favorites. It really is, and it should be yours too. And we are two segments away from that cake. So, well, you know, two segments away from cake. Not the band. I mean, maybe. This next segment's called Write an Erotic Poem About It. Write an erotic poem about it. Johnny, please have written an erotic poem about Sacramento Mayor Kevin Johnson. Oh. He doesn't deserve it, right? Yeah.
All
right.
This poem is called Hot Child in the City. He dunked on Akeem, but that wasn't his dream. He had visions much bigger than that. Returned to his hometown, revitalized downtown, even took pictures with Norm Lopez, the cat. Made Sac High a charter school. Teenage girls drank his dick drool.
Jesus Christ, allegedly.
Now he's considering scat. That means poop.
Thank you, Johnny
Just
Taylor.
Just let you guys know.
Luke Soyan, an erotic poem about, self-defense. Self-defense.
Yeah, this is weird. I don't know. Let's see. Make my heart race, make sweat drip down my face. Into a dark alley, give me chase. Then quicken the pace, get into my personal space, and I'll spray you with my mace. Throw me into a pile of trash, and then in a flash, I'll make a moist splash in my red underpants.
This is not rhyme.
Nope, it does not. Threaten me with a robbery or maybe some assault and battery. Then when you make your move, I'll become cat-like, smooth. I'll turn your energy against you as if I was able to sense you. I'll show you my moves, my sexy horse-style kung fus. Don't feel dumb as I break your thumb as I place it in your special love bin. Don't scream as I guide it in. This is what you wanted, Tim. I don't know who Tim is. And while you're going, ah, ah, I'll bust out my naked Krav Maga. Doesn't rhyme either. And while your broken body spasms, I'll enjoy my 12 orgasms. And as we lay in our trash heap, hey, you my bae and me your bae bae. I'll look into your beady little eyes and gouge them out to make them my prize.
Looks like it. Very good. Moving right along to the next white male with a beard. <It's> Ben Rice, please have written an erotic poem about bikes.
All right. If you have hated my last haiku, you'll super hate this one. It is entitled, Big Wheel Keeps on Boning.
Okay. Right.
Girl, when I see you, my riser bar goes schwinn. Some fresh air and a twist of the nipple, and we're at it again. Girl, I'll stroke your shaft. What a sexy reversal. As if punctured by stones, girl, I'll plug your hole. You're my star cruiser. No need to specialize. When you're mounting my mongoose, here comes a surprise. We barely spoke once we finished our ride.
Very nice.
You gave me a huffy, so I wouldn't finish inside. Then down in old Mexico, for a forbidden Bianchi show. They say it costs extra if you're ready to go. Just a few dollars more to take a dump on her chest. I know what you're thinking. Who turns down BMXXX? I was proud of that one. I was super proud of it, guys. The whole poem is to get that whole line in.
That, yeah.
Later, I found myself a giant because there's such a thrill. Tracked down a dino for a menage a tricycle. I felt kind of bad. Thought I was crazy about her. But as it turns out, I just wanted to derail her.
Very good, Ben. Very good.
It's a bicycle part.
Yeah. Hey, you guys, bring that baby in here. she was totally pushing a baby. Okay. Oh, man. All right, Jesse Jones, please have written an erotic poem in regards to Holy Scripture.
I didn't.
Okay.
And I'm sort of scared now. Since my cheating last time did not pay off, this cheating is, let's see. Since much of the Bible already reads like a collection of penthouse letters to the editor to me.
What Bible are you reading?
It's the searches that I did. I decided to revive that segment, Penthouse Letters to the Editor, in place of writing an erotic poem about Holy Scripture, and completely not because I just couldn't come up with a good erotic poem about Holy Scripture.
Okay.
But completely because I couldn't come up with a good poem.
He's human.
To the editors of Bible Monthly, Judea, Israel, 1398 B.C. I just happened to find your first book in the muck surrounding my master's land. And let me tell you, this Genesis of yours has got me hotter than Zeus's thunderbox. Book started a little slow with a lot of backstory. Started to pick up when the woman character was introduced. But then took this weird turn with the whole snake subplot. It's almost enough to make me put it down completely, but I'm so glad I didn't, because when I finally got to the fifth chapter, things really started heating up. This one was begotten that one. And that one was begotten the other one. Just so much begotten. Halfway through the chapter, I had to chip away at the muck which for so long had caked over my groin and relearn how to manipulate my atrophied reproductive organs. But relearn I did over and over again. Needless to say, by the end of the begotting, I'd already abandoned my pantheon of gods and turned my allegiance to yours. Just one god is going to be so much easier. Especially a god this sexy. I've also tucked away the tattered pages under my straw bedding and reread it at least once a night, sometimes twice if I haven't coughed up too much blood that day. Just hope the rest of your books keep up the steamy start you've made here and don't turn into some story about a kid who wants me to like everybody. Hawks news. Keep up the begotten. Signed, Stevocles the Creepy, uncle of Todden the Frail, and Beckesius the Confused.
Was he a leper?
Huh?
Was he a leper?
Well, sure.
Okay. Very good. This brings us to the final category of the first show. Please no one leave. There are two shows tonight. This is the 49th episode. We're celebrating the 50th with you. This next segment is called Location, 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 a fan favorite. you guys have all been you've all been given a business to start in a shitty location. Please make us want to come to it. Johnny Taylor, you run a fetish publication in the Bible Belt. Boy.
Oh. Theme. That was the easiest one.
Yeah.
Whatever Jesse just said. Okay, so this is a letter not to the editor, but from the editor.
From the okay.
Hi, y'all. And welcome to the first issue of God's Backyard Magazine. We hope to make you a good Christian citizen, a loyal reader of our fine quarterly publication. You see what we did there with the title? We're in God's backyard. So y'all are probably thinking, hey, that's why they called it that. Well, you'd be half right. We called it God's backyard because we're in God's country out here. But we also called it that because of all the hot anal-specific pictures and stories you're about to see. Get it? Backyard. We're pretty clever. Anywho, we know some of you guys and gals might be thinking, will God know that I'm giving my old goober a whacking to hot, gaping farmers' wives' beeholes? Well, the answer is no, because God's totally made up. So, yeah, have a hearty wank before you go to your stupid job keeping America's agriculture alive or whatever you do. It's literally risk-free due to the fact that everything you've ever put your faith in is total bullshit. That's why we say here, God's backyard, pictures of beeholes, and Jesus is hella fake.
Johnny Taylor. Bringing it home. Luke Soyan.
Yep.
You sell over-the-hill party supplies in a town entirely populated by people with terminal illnesses.
Yeah, it's going to be great. all right.
It's been a very dark show.
Yeah.
The next one's brighter. Weird. So yeah.
Nope.
Nope.
Have any last wishes? Wait, let me rephrase that. Do you have any one very specific last wishes? Okay, why don't we just assume for the sake of argument that you, however unlikely it is, have this one very specific last wish to celebrate a birthday that everyone is very sad and anxious about, even though at this stage, pun intended, you would be eternally grateful to whatever deity allowed you the luxury of experiencing this monumental tipping point in a person's lifetime. I don't even know if that's a real sentence. But fuck those ungrateful bitches who complain about being over the hill when, let's be honest, you're barely up the front of it and probably won't even make it to the first base camp. You're 4 years old, and you just wanted the chance to celebrate your 40th God. Birthday. All right, that was really dark.
Sound like you said four.
I did.
You did say four. Okay. Just checking. Yeah, you're right.
Yep, I'm just going to finish it. I don't know if it'll work, but...
No, keep going.
Well, at Oliver Olson's Over the Hill Party Outlet... We have all of the wacky party favors you'll need to celebrate that special day you'll never actually get to see. We have Mylar balloons with sayings like, I won't feel old till I forget this day ever happened. And I still can't afford my midlife crisis, but that's what credit cards are for. Am I right? We've also got streamers. inflatable walkers with authentic tennis ball feet, and fake giant old people sunglasses. We make those in all sizes so they'll fit your unnaturally small cancer head perfectly.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We might not have an answer to your early onset pancreatic cancer.
Oh, Jesus.
But if you want to have your 40th birthday party at 4 years old, who are we to stand in your way, Jesus, when the cancer is already doing that?
Oh, Jesus.
We're here to make you feel all the guilt of living 40 years and not having gotten anything of note accomplished. Because that's what... I don't know. That's where it ends. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Thank you, Luke Soyan, apologizing his way.
Very good.
Ben Rice. Ben Rice. Mm-hmm. You're trying to break into the rice sales game in the Orient.
Yeah.
Please, no cancer in this one. Please.
No cancer in this one, guys. Tired of wading through mud and muck and human excrement and tiger entrails in those hideous patty hats just to get a few handfuls of nutrient-neutral grains? Has the sheer volume of dead babies, some not your own, some not even female, that you find stacked against your shanty on the daily got you down? Then try Uncle Ben's Instant Rice.
Uncle Ben,
yep,
your name's
that's
Ben.
That's right. Made in the finest laboratories, government money that should go towards dental for all, but instead goes to soulless acid rain-creating corporations can buy. Uncle Ben's Instant Rice comes in many wonderful, invigorating flavors and styles. Cajun, which is like Thai hot for complete pussies who also don't speak English too good either. Long grain white rice, like the guy who's talking to you now, but in a foodstuff instead. Red beans and rice. You'd like that one, you little commie son of a bitch, wouldn't you? Yeah, that's what I thought. But one heaping chopstick full and you'll be howling. Just like the dog you filleted that goes aside.
Oh, my God.
Ugh, yeah, this is awful. This is awful. No, I'd apologize, but I know your little Mongol shits don't understand a cotton-picking word, and I have no idea which of the hundreds of dialects you chintzy assholes use. Uncle Ben's Instant Rice, now racist against everyone.
Ben Rice.
Worse than cancer. Weird.
Yeah, it was worse than cancer.
Yeah.
People are afraid to clap at that one.
Yeah, I don't understand why.
Yeah, no idea.
This is why you guys are on the 49th episode. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke. No, that's a joke. No. Jesse Jones. I forget what I write sometimes. Oh my God! All right, Jesse Jones, here's your shitty business location. You're a lactation consultant in a town where all the women accidentally lost their breasts in horrible accidents. Horrible accidents. Horrible accidents. Did I need to read that again? Did anyone?
Sure. Why not?
You are a lactation consultant in a town where all of the women accidentally lost their breasts in horrible accidents. Horrible accidents.
Thanks for coming out, everybody.
Yeah. Free cake.
Cake coming up. You're 2.5 minutes away from cake.
You are.
Good God.
All right.
You were sure that lawnmower was off when you picked it up.
Very good.
Who could have guessed the dog could possibly yank that slippery kitchen rug out from under you while you were busy prepping lunches on your new deli slicer? You'd been practicing that butterfly knife routine for years. Mission accomplished. Accidents happen. And the detached bosom technicians at Bras, or breast removal accident specialists, are here to help. Our highly trained boob amputation mishap trauma specialist will teach you the recent inadvertently mastectomied woman in a variety of techniques, both old world and 21st century, for producing lactic nutrients from your calamitously disconnected sheets. I don't give a fuck.
Wait. Jesse, wait a minute.
Yeah?
Maybe it'll make it softer. I don't know. Just trying to soften the show.
You gave me this. This is what you get back.
Yeah.
Accidents.
They're all accidents, guys.
Yeah, this isn't another cancer thing.
No matter how fussy or reluctant, there's not a booby removed by happenstance that can't be relieved of its life-sustaining fluids through one of our many proven alternative lactation techniques. When you arrive at Bras, one of our specialists will just pick your breast up from the table in front of you, give it a gentle squeeze, and quickly determine the method best for you. This sentence I almost cut. Whether it's a good gazonga grip that you need, or patented melon mash, or even the more direct titty twister, we have the plan for you. But remember, the services available at Bras are meant only for the lady who has, quite by accident, been demammaried. If for whatever reason your tit flesh was removed at all purposefully, well, you can keep on walking, flatty. So come on down to Bras, where we'll squeeze the juice alive from your fallen fruit or your money back. Because here at Bras, our motto is simple. When life cuts off your lemons, doesn't mean you can't still make lemonade.
Oh, my God. Episode 49 is fucking over.
Thanks, John.
Oh, my God. You guys, let's hear it one more time for Johnny Taylor, Luke Soyan, Ben Rice, Jesse Jones. Thank you for listening. We will be back right after the cake. The free cake.